I thought of Nate saying he was afraid his mother would see a picture of him getting arrested. Mommy's good little pre-dent pinched down in Derry for parading in front of the federal building without a permit. Ah, the shame, the shame. And Carol's dad? Not quite the same deal, but close. Carol's dad was a steady boy who said ship ahoy and joined the Navy, after all. He may not see the story, I said. Even if he does, the paper didn't use any names. The picture. She spoke patiently, as if to someone who can't help being dense. Didn't you see the picture? I started to say that her face was mostly turned away from the camera, and what you could see was in shadow. Then I remembered her high school jacket with Harwich High School blaring across the back. Also, he was her father, for Christ's sake. Even half turned away from the camera, he would know her. He may not see the picture either, I said lamely. Damerscott is at the far edge of the news's area. Is that how you want to live your life, Pete? She still sounded patient, but now it was patience with an edge. Doing stuff and then hoping people won't find out? No, I said. And could I get mad at her for saying that, considering that Anne-Marie Soucy still didn't have the slightest idea that Carol Gerber was alive? I didn't think so. Anne-Marie and I weren't married or anything, but marriage wasn't the issue. No, I don't. But Carol, you don't have to shove the damn newspaper under his nose for him, do you? She laughed. The sound had none of the brightness I had heard in her earlier giggle, but I thought even a rueful laugh was better than none at all. I won't have to. He'll find it. That's just the way he is. But I had to go, Pete. And I'll probably join the Committee of Resistance, even though George Gilman always looks like a little kid who just got caught eating boogers and Harry Swidrowski has the world's worst breath. Because it's... the thing of it is... you see... She blew a frustrated, I-can't-explain sigh into my ear. Listen, you know where we go out for smoke breaks? At Holyoke? By the dumpster, sure. Meet me there, Carol said. In 15 minutes, can you? Yes. I have a lot more studying to do, so I can't stay long, but I'll be there. I hung up the phone and stepped out of the booth. Ashley Rice was standing in the doorway of the lounge, smoking and doing a little shuffle step. I deduced that he was between games. His face was too pale, the black stubble on his cheek standing out like pencil marks, and his shirt had gone beyond simply soiled. It looked lived in. He had a wide-eyed danger, high-voltage look that I later came to associate with heavy cocaine users. And that's what the game really was, a kind of drug, not the kind that mellowed you out either. "What do you say, Pete?" he asked. "Want to play a few hands?" "Maybe later," I said, and started down the hall. Stoke Jones was thumping back from the bathroom in an old frayed robe. His crutches left round tracks on the linoleum. His hair was wet, crazier than ever. I wondered how he did in the shower. Certainly there were none of the railings and grab handles that later became standard in public washing facilities. He didn't look as though he would much enjoy discussing the subject, however. That or any other subject. "How you doing, Stoke?" I asked. He went by without answering. Head down, dripping hair plastered to his cheeks, soap and towel clamped under one arm, muttering rip, 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 rip under his breath. He never even looked up at me. Say whatever you wanted about Stoke Jones. You could depend on him to put a little fuck you into your day.